Hey, this is Steve Snowball Sailor, and this is previously what happened on This Week in Geek. I have no idea what happened, but listen to this anyway.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Yay!
Everybody's here.
Okay, it worked. Good. That must mean that Microsoft actually did something correct and actually fixed the groups. Because I've never, ever since Microsoft took over Skype, I've never used any of my old groups in Skype because every time I would call...
8, 29, 30,
stop counting, 30, you idiot. 30,
33,
you asshat. 5,
36, 37.
Knock it off.
What was that? Did you just kill somebody? Did you just beat a cat or something?
That was me. Beat someone's head into the fucking pavement.
Pretty much, yeah. No, that was my microphone.
Oh.
I'd rather hit that against my desk than my own head.
That would be bad.
Yeah, I've done it before, just to get the sound effect.
Hey, this is Dave Brenner from Theory of a Dead Man, and you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, this is Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. Believe me, I'm everywhere, like a fungus or a spore, or like that little old lady you see crossing the street. I don't know where I'm going with that one. Don't use this one. Never. Don't use it. It sucks. 10 seconds.
Epic fail.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world.
Hello and welcome to an all-new Nerd News Network. This is episode 13 of the all-new Nerd News Network. Wow, that is a lot to say. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Returning is Mike the Birdman Dodd. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I'm doing back for at least an episode or two, anyway.
That's right. Also joining us once again, I don't even remember the last one he was on, but Randrew Roebuck is here. Hello, sir.
Hello. I think it's been a month or two.
I think it's been longer than that, but I'd have to check, and I'm too lazy to do that. I'm pulling a Dodd today. And of course, Nightbeat himself, Ryan the Navenflow Merkley, is here. We just spent a whole month talking Transformers comics inside the pull bag, so go check that out over on Geekcast Radio, folks.
If you're gonna ride, Dano, ride in style.
Speaking of actually collaborations, me and Andrew, I just took his RPG Cherry. We just played...
That sounds kinky and wrong in all the wrong ways.
Yes! We played Fate Core over on Terrible Warriors. We did a version of Friday the 13th where he plays Charles... I can't remember your last name. Basically, he's Montgomery Burns.
Charles Montgomery Phillips, thank you. It's a combination of Duke Phillips from The Critic and C. Montgomery Burns.
Excellent.
And you're the only guy who Jason has pretty much almost killed.
Almost, but not quite.
Not quite killed. You got some lucky roll. Well, okay, Jason rolled like shit on that last one. That should be out in like... Actually, it might even be out this week, actually. So be sure to check out TerribleWarriors.com for that, where you'll see Andrew gets pinned to a wall by a railroad spike.
Yes.
Good Continue, Lord. Blanchett. Continue.
Ryan, you were at a comic convention this weekend. What was going on up there in Ottawa?
Ottawa Comic Con. It was good. No. So overall, I think the attendance is probably slightly down. But having said that, it had kept going up year after year. So I'm not too surprised by this. I figured it was about time. There is sort of a Mendoza line, but yeah, still a good crowd, though, and I mean, everybody was buying stuff there. So
now tell me, Ryan, how bad were the lines for autographs for Capaldi?
I don't know. I didn't take a look. He was by far the most expensive I've ever seen. $110 autograph, $120 photo.
Wow.
Jesus.
So, Andrew, you owe me $230. Because I got his autograph and got my picture taken with him for you. So.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
With Peter Capaldi.
And then just the note that has Andrew written on it.
Yeah.
A post-it note.
Sure. Oh, I was supposed to get your name written on it, too? Wow, well. Close enough.
I don't know what's worse, that or Spock prices, because Spock used to make people wait in line for hours on end so he can go get lunch.
His name was Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, I know. Jesus. Spock. It was, also, like, he did go through a phase where, yeah, he wasn't big on the fans. Also, on the other hand, people do have to eat.
Yeah, but not if your line is, 3 hours long.
That's why you have handlers.
Yeah.
They should go get you lunch.
Exactly.
You still have to sit your sandwich down to sign autographs, so I can see where he's coming from. Although, the guest lineup at Ottawa Comic Con was fairly impressive, I think.
I'd still say this is probably the most down, but, I mean, having a current doctor, like Capaldi there, is pretty big. I mean, the other thing to note, I say current doctor, but obviously, he's moved on, too, but I always like the fact that you can find the people on the floor, too. I always enjoy that. So, for example, Jenna Coleman was walking around on the floor.
That's cool.
I want to say in disguise, but not really. I mean, she was, wearing glasses, and it's not a very good... It was Clark Kent-level disguise here. Phil LaMarr was around. This is the other thing I like about the Ottawa ones. You can run into the people because, people leave them alone when they're on the floor. I mean, they're there to enjoy themselves. They're not there walking around to be bugged by people.
Yeah.
So that was that's always kind of neat. As for me, I go for the normal people. I don't think I've ever gotten, I know. I've never actually gone and gotten an autograph or anything there. I just go to, I know a whole ton of the people that go to the con. So I interact with them. I meet new people. I just go for go to be around it and be with like-minded people, which I always really enjoy. And I go for merchandise too, because I got a whole shit ton of trades this year. Awesome. Finished off my Jason Aaron run of Thor, grabbed all the trades from the goddamn Wicked and the Divine, We Stand on Guard, Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet. Finished off all my Wolverine and the X-Men Jason Aaron run trades I was missing. Finished off Powers trades I was missing. Got Planet Hulk, which I read last night, and is surprisingly really, really good. Got new Avengers volumes 1 and 2, a whole bunch of other things I'm sure I'm forgetting. Yeah, I got a lot of trades. I'm probably around or over 600 now. So
wow,
Jesus Christ, Ryan, you own a friggin' library! Oh my god,
pretty much.
From the guest list there, I would probably like to meet Coleman, Capaldi, and because I'm really into the show, the girl that played Cheryl Blossom from Riverdale.
Oh, yeah, I was told she was nice. She was on the floor at one point, too. I've heard a bunch of people said that she was really, really nice.
So did you just say you're really into Riverdale, though?
I really enjoy that show. I was really surprised by it.
I mean, I like it, but it's awful. It's so bad.
It's,
I love it. I don't know.
It's your standard CW show with Archie characters. I mean, that's really what it is. It's the CW. Okay. It's the CW, so, basically.
So wait, when you say it's the standard CW show with Archie characters, is there a speedster villain on it? Because that's
okay. I mean, like CW a standard a standard CW show, like
does it also feature shitty flashbacks that don't go anywhere and everybody has a bad wig?
It's not Arrow or Flashback.
Is Jitter's Coffee House featured in it?
Probably.
No, they...
Chocolate Shop.
Yeah, Pop's Chocolate Malt Shop, yeah. It's not the worst when it comes to CW shows of that nature. It's on the same par as, like, you know, Vampire Diaries and other crap that they put out like that.
I don't know. I just think it's taking Archie characters and putting them in this situation. I just think it's really clever, considering how innocent the Archie comics are, and you have Archie banging Miss Grundy at one point. I'm thinking, okay, that's friggin' all right, cool. I'm in. Lock, stock, and barrel, folks. I'm ready.
Congratulations, you've successfully described a show worse than one of my coworkers usually does. I can officially guarantee I will never bother watching it.
Ryan, I can assure you it's not your style for sure.
Ryan, Jughead's in it, but he fucks now. So,
yeah,
that's even worse.
Okay, wait. I'm gonna make it even worse for you, Ryan. I'm gonna make it even worse for you. All right, Jughead is played by
one of the Sweet Life of Zack
and Cody twins, Cole Sprouse.
Oh, God,
do you know what that is, Ryan?
Remember Big Daddy? It's the kid. He's all grown up. Yep.
Wow, that's depressing.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yep. Because the Sprouse twins were the kid in Big Daddy with Adam Sandler.
Oh, now I can see the resemblance. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. Oh, you learn something new every day.
Yep.
That and Veronica's hot as crap, just saying.
The Mark Waid Archie series is really good. We got the third trade of that, which has been phenomenal, so.
I haven't read an Archie comic since, like, probably the 90s, so I'm obviously really out of it. But anyway, should probably move on to actual news items.
Yes.
We should probably catch up during, like, show opens and notes. So.
Yeah. The interesting news coming out of Marvel is that the Black Panther and the crew got canceled after 2 issues. What the hell, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm not real happy about that. It's a good series, too. Everything the author, whose name I will butcher should I try to pronounce it, has been doing with Black Panther has been fantastic. And, yeah, it's a really good sort of real-world series. Doesn't make me too happy that it's canned already, but it didn't sell all that well.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons for that. I mean, one, a few people have brought this up. Marvel spent no money. Actually, in general, Marvel spends no money advertising anything that's not an event right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few good things I have to say about their upcoming Legendary event is they've said it'll be the last one for about 2 years. Yeah, I know. I mean, it remains to be seen if they stick to that. That's like the Arrow producers saying they're going to stop Flashbacks and then immediately backtracking. But anyway, I hope they don't, they don't backtrack on this. But yeah, like, they just haven't backed anything that's not an event. And I know there are people online, I like to call them idiots, who are jumping on this and saying that, oh, it's more proof Marvel's diversity doesn't work. No, because there's a lot of proof that it does. I mean, Thor continues to sell better than it ever did under the Odinson as Thor, for example. Miss Marvel continues to be more relevant and sell better than the series did with Carol Danvers, etc., etc. There's a lot of different examples of it. Also, you know, Black Panther's always been the same character, so this is a long-standing comic book character. Now, to be fair, the actual Black Panther series hasn't been canned, and it's
no. This is the spin-off series. It's called Black Panther and the Crew.
Luke Cage, Storm, Misty Knight.
Yeah. In the article on Comic Book Resources, it says that the author explained that it got canceled after two issues due to poor sales, but it will finish a 6-issue run.
Yeah, which, to be fair, I mean, well, it'd be, yeah.
That's what it said in the article, so.
To be fair, don't know if it was planned to be a long,
right,
standing series, but yeah. the other part of this too is there's a number of different articles online about the fact that there are portions of Secret Empire or Secret Empire. What the hell's the name of it? Now I can't remember.
I think Secret Empire is actually the name.
Yes, it is in fact Secret Empire. Hey, I was right. That's what I get for second guessing myself. Anyway, that some of the tie-in books for that are selling a lot worse than this is. So that's the other sort of half of this, is Marvel cares more about their events than they do their standard comics, which, I mean, we already kind of knew.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Marvel's VP of sales, if anyone remembers this, I think we talked about it on this show, Blanchard and I, blamed women and diversity for their sales.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah, and then only a few weeks later, Black Panther and Ms. Marvel and a number of the other series that featured new characters, well, Aaron's Thor, for example, and others that featured new characters or diverse characters, absolutely dominated the Hugo Awards, as well as the Eisner Awards. So he was wrong. I mean, all of these series are selling really well. Yep. So yeah, essentially, David Gabriel's a moron. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I don't know what's... I have not read, outside of some of the Star Wars stuff, and I have not read all the Star Wars stuff, but outside of some of that, I cannot remember... I think the last time I read a Marvel comic was Superior Iron Man, and that was
I've got a subscription to Marvel now, but I never use it.
The Marvel comics are really, really good.
I'm sure they are.
Right now, like, overall... they are, I mean, Aaron's Thor is, on a monthly basis, one of the better comics. Now, of course, I'm struggling to think of things, but Black Panther, I mentioned, I'm reading. I've enjoyed Nick Spencer's run. I know the author is not the best person, we'll say, but his run on Captain America has been quite good. So, I mean, they're good books. It's not as though the quality is kind of dive, but I mean, we talked about this on the show, that one of the things that pisses me off is all these books that I enjoy keep getting interrupted by events every 6 months, and they don't get the chance to adjust or finish off storylines.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
I mentioned one of the things I wanted to report on too, which was you know, this is related to comic books and hopefully not a sign of things to come, but it should be noted that Danica Patrick's custom-made Wonder Woman car exploded in a fiery wreck during a NASCAR event today. So,
oh, my God.
That better not be an omen of things to come.
she was fine driving the car. Yeah, it's... hopefully the film will be less of a fiery wreck.
What are the early reviews for it saying right now?
Oh.
I know there's a guy on YouTube I follow, Emergency Awesome. Haven't had a chance to check out his review. I'm pretty sure he got to see it this past weekend. So if anybody knows out there, tweet at us. Let us know.
Yep. Alright. What do you got, Andrew, for this week?
So first story I wanted to touch on is that Godzilla vs. Ghidorah director Yoshimitsu Bano passed away. He was 86 years old, and I just kind of briefly wanted to mention him because actually there's a big resurgence in giant monster movies happening right now, especially with the starting with the 2014 Godzilla and leading into the Kong Skull Island movie, and in 2020 the two will actually go up against each other in Godzilla vs. King Kong for the second time.
That's not a resurgent. That's two movies since 2014.
Well, you can count.
Also, there's a movie called Godzilla Resurgence or Shin Godzilla. So eat shit. Anyways, And
wait. There's a movie called Godzilla Resurgence, really? So it's going to be like Independence Day 2?
Okay, no, it was actually it was renamed Shin Godzilla after the Independence Resurgence was so shitty they didn't want to have it associated with that. So Yoshimitsu Bano actually got the ball rolling for Legendary Pictures to actually do a 2014 Godzilla movie, and he was actually an executive producer when the film actually came out, because he for years was trying to make a sequel to his 1971 film, and he wanted to make it like a 30-minute IMAX film. And through talks of him trying to get an IMAX film done with American Studios, eventually it got to the Legendary Pictures and the huge array of Godzilla movies that we are coming to know soon, Ryan. They're not out yet, but they're planned. And on top of that, he also did a lot of assistant directing work with famous director Akira Kurosawa, who is one of the best directors of all time. So films like Throne of Blood, Hidden Depths, The Bad Sleep Well, all extremely influential films did have Bano's mark on it, and he will be missed.
I did not know any of this, so that is rather informative. That's cool. Plus, I'm kind of glad we're starting to get like the big monster movies again, like you said, Andrew. And I guess I think you could count movies like Pacific Rim in there too, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. And even Cloverfield kind of got the ball rolling again, I would say, because it actually earned money. So nothing happened for a few years post Cloverfield, but Cloverfield was probably when it all began to kind of.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Speaking of movies not earning money, oh sorry, that was Mike? A perfect segue into my. Oh, that was going to be a perfect segue into my next story too.
But that's because you both have the same story.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're both going to talk about Power Rangers bombing.
Oh shit.
Which makes me tremendously sad. So yeah, this movie just opened up in China this past week, and worldwide it's made about $130 million, although this weekend in China it opened to 1.2 million. So they're hoping this movie is going to make about 132 million worldwide, but despite that, this movie cost $100 million to make and a lot more to market it. So Ham Saban wants to make more sequels, but the fans are already kind of starting to panic, and I'm one of them, because I just watched the new Power Rangers movie the other day, and I really enjoyed it.
Conversely, you know, it opens to 1.2 million in China. Conversely, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 opened to 49 million in China. That's a discrepancy.
Well, yeah, well, you go up against anything Marvel, you're going to get crushed.
Did they really release the same week in
China? Yeah, that was probably a bad call.
That was a terrible call. The reason why the movie did well in America and the United States and North America.
There's nothing. It opened against nothing.
Or actually, yeah. No, sorry. I should note that it did not. Sorry. Guardians is just still playing there. Guardians opened worldwide on the. Yeah, it opened in China on the 5th of May. Yeah. So
still, that's like way too close, because of course Guardians is going to be the number one.
Yeah, well, it's still doing well.
Ryan and I were talking about this off air. It seems that no movie this year, no big, whether it's the comic book movies, whether it's the superhero stuff, whatever, no big movies are actually going up against each other. They're all spread out thin so they can all make money and succeed. Remember we were talking about this off air?
No. I didn't talk to you. Yeah,
it was.
We were talking.
Jesus Christ, man.
Everybody's staggering releases now,
which I think is good. It gives people
Well, we get a bit of a logjam coming up. I mean, we're gonna have Aliens and Wonder Woman releasing. I mean, this weekend Guardians is still absolutely dominating the North American and worldwide, for that matter, theaters. But yeah, I mean, it'll be a little more crowded.
I don't know. It makes me sad, because I really, like I said, I really enjoyed Power Rangers, and if it had opened closer to the North American release date in China, I think maybe this thing might have got over 200. Maybe.
I mean, to be blunt, it didn't do all that well North American either, which is another problem for it. I mean,
but
it did
okay.
But it
was pretty well received, all things considered.
No, it was definitely well received. It just nobody saw it. I mean, it still finished only $84 million, you know, in its North American run.
Sorry, Blatcher, go ahead.
And here, I thought everybody wanted to see Walter White as a giant figurehead.
See, I just want to see Tommy as the Green Ranger.
That's
whoever they were going to do.
Okay, that's one thing I'll say about this Power Rangers movie. I am glad. Uh-huh. I am very glad. Now, this is going against everything that I normally talk about when it comes to nostalgia, but I am very glad that they made this for any new fans and barely included any of the legacy stuff. I mean, yes, Tommy is in there for a split second. Okay, he's in there for a split second at the end, and that's all well, good, and fine, but I am very happy with this movie making it own original characters and not just going back to the well of 20 years ago.
Yeah,
almost 25 years ago now.
I heard that they were going to even further differentiate and kind of equal out the gender balances, and apparently the Green Ranger, Tommy, was actually going to be a female.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been interesting, and it would have actually helped to even out the gender split between the team, so that would have been a good idea.
But Marvel's VP of sales says women don't see comic books or go to movies or leave the kitchen or anyway.
Wow.
What? I'm just quoting the VP of sales. Don't look at me.
The one thing that makes me sad about Power Rangers not making enough money is if it doesn't get a sequel, we won't get another Brian Tyler score for it. And Brian, I have been a huge fan of Brian Tyler's music since Transformers Prime Season 1.
You should actually listen to his stuff. He does a lot of video game stuff.
I know he does.
His Assassin's Creed 4 soundtrack is friggin' amazing.
Yeah. I've listened to almost all of his TV, cartoon, film stuff. I have not listened to any of the video game stuff because I don't play the video games. It's not that I don't want to hear it. I'm the type of person that if I watch a movie and I hear the music, I will then go get the soundtrack or the score. And when I was watching Power Rangers, I'm like, oh, okay, so I already knew it was going to be Brian Tyler. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll check it out. And the score is actually damn good for this movie.
Do you do the same thing for trailers? Because if so, you have a lot of slow pop songs on your iPod.
No.
Sweet, this version of Come As You Are takes 14 minutes.
Shut up! It was not that damn slow.
Every song has to be slowed down. Man, hey, imagine a Tool that's album. Tool songs are already 7 minutes long each. Imagine like a slowed down one. It'd be like 3 hours. I'd probably enjoy that, actually. It'd be sweet.
You would. Yes, you would. All right. For me this week, I very rarely talk about this, and I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, because I've never read any of the books. I just find it hilarious.
Oh, I'm so glad you're going to bring this up, because this, Mike, is going to make you money.
I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
I don't think so.
Would you like to hear my proposal?
No.
Live on air?
No. J.K. Rowling tweeted a picture of the manuscript Friday with the message, please don't buy this if you're offered it. Apparently, a prequel handwritten Harry Potter script is floating around out there because it got stolen from her.
That's terrible.
Yes.
Now,
so wait, how are we going to make money off of this? God, did you steal it? Oh, yes. No.
Okay, because for years, I have heard Blanchard talk shit about Harry Potter for years. I'm willing to pay you, Blanchard,
justifiably,
for you to watch the movies.
No.
Wait.
I hate the movies now. Can you give me money?
No,
wait.
I'm doing Blanchard because he's talked shit for years.
Hang on, and why justifiably? They're actually good movies. Listen,
exactly.
I've read the books. I'm not a huge fan, but they are like pretty good, solid films.
They're fine.
So that's why, Blanchard, I'm willing to PayPal you $10 for each movie that you watch.
You probably shouldn't do that. That's probably a bad idea.
Well, you see, once again, I just want to see if you can separate your hatred and just watch them as movies.
But see,
also,
it's not...
Poor. Shouldn't I be doing this stuff?
Yeah, really. Anyway, it's not really about the actual films or the content of the medium. It's about the damn fandom of the whole thing. Like,
yeah, but you don't have to watch the fandom at all. You're there watching it by yourself.
Also, whoa. You are fans of things that have way more toxic fandom than Harry Potter.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, the in-your-face
like
way...
Transformers.
Hey, the only thing I've said about Harry Potter is 7 years ago when I was in a Books A Million in Mississippi... I had a choice. Either I could read a book about a boy wizard, or I could read a book about a former lingerie buyer turned bounty hunter. Now, guess which one I chose.
What's that?
I don't know.
Book?
Which one is more culturally
significant? Yeah, probably the terrible one. I'm going to go.
What is that other book? What is this thing?
It's the Stephanie Plum series by Janet Ivanovich. They're actually very hilarious books.
Oh. Eh, they're all right.
But still, my office...
Fight.
Well, I don't know. I'm the only other one that's read them, apparently.
I haven't
heard of them, unfortunately. Yeah, it's a damn shame that movie was bad. Anyway.
But still, just the fact that there's this handwritten manuscript out there,
mm-hmm.
I guess that means she's going to have to scrap it and rewrite it, because you know it'll end up on some forum board.
Yeah.
Before too long.
Mm-hmm.
But there are major Harry Potter fans out there with major money, so who knows, it might end up in a private collection. One of a kind item you can never tell anybody you own.
Kind of like the dark glass script from Christy Marks from Beast Wars.
Yeah, except culturally relevant.
Except, yeah,
hey!
I'm
gonna say Harry Potter. Hey! That's 21 years old at this point. Anyway.
That's older than Andrew.
God. I think everything is older than Andrew at this point.
You are right.
Gaga goo goo. I'm the boss.
Oh my god.
I'm the boss.
Don't
baby.
Ever do that again.
Respect me. I run a country. Gaga goo goo.
You are no Cartman.
Oh man, usually that's my bitch. All right,
so who's going
next?
Yeah, who's going next? Who wants to go next?
I can just kind of piggyback and just keep going.
Okay.
Because this is a story very much to my interest, but Ryan will have some bits to chirp into this as well. So EA is scaling down, or sorry, BioWare rather, is scaling down their studio in Montreal, and the Mass Effect series is temporarily being put on hiatus as they start to move support structure and staff around. That's not unusual after a game ships. But they're saying they're only going to be focusing on the live stuff and the multiplayer. So I kind of wonder if this means that any single-player content for Mass Effect Andromeda may be scrapped at this point, as they were intending Mass Effect Andromeda to be a huge reboot for the series by moving it to the Andromeda Galaxy and further away from the Reaper War. And they've been moving staff around to work at EA Studios Motive, which is also in Montreal, so they can work on Battlefront 2, and a new IP, which we should find out about this year, called Codename Dylan. No one knows what that is, but I imagine it'd probably be along the lines of Destiny, from what I've been hearing. But I don't know. This makes me upset, because Andromeda, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It was probably a 6.5 to a 7 out of 10 for me, but there were some interesting story threads that I wanted DLC to wrap up, and I don't think that's going to happen now with this, because the game did not sell nearly as well as they wanted it to. The Metacritic scores were nowhere near what they wanted it to be, and the game just put out a patch this week, which is still fixing issues which the game shouldn't have had at launch. Truth be told, this game came out in March and they're still fixing little things like animations and glitches. This game should have shipped. I'm not saying there shouldn't have been a patch out, but a lot of these things could have been polished before the game even went gold.
Yeah, what is this, a Bethesda game? Jeez.
No, it still sort of worked.
Yeah. But yeah, it makes me really, really depressed that we may not see any more of Sarah and Scott Ryder's journey in the Andromeda Galaxy. Despite the writing being a little weaker in this franchise, we don't know. Spoilers, you've had 2 months to play this game by now, so we don't know what happened to the Quarian arc and that right little bit right at the end of the game. And they left that ripe open for, like, DLC. There's also the giant worm on Aladrin, I think the world was. The desert planet, either way, that yeah, looks like a giant reaper thing. So, kind of pissed. Can't say I'm surprised, though, but I hope BioWare will maybe give us another Jade Empire, maybe during this break, maybe another Dragon Age.
Empire will sadly never happen again.
I could see Dragon Age, though, because I think Dragon Age sold well.
Yeah, Inquisition did pretty well, so I think another problem with Mass Effect Andromeda, which actually I'll be talking about this with a guy from YouTube, JV2017, we're going to do a prototype probably later on this week talking about Mass Effect Andromeda, what happened, is this wasn't headed by EA Edmonton, or this wasn't headed by BioWare Edmonton. This was a smaller studio, and this was, I think, one of their first games. So it wasn't a lot of their super A staff working on it. And I'm not saying that they didn't try their hardest, no, far from it. I think they did. But definitely something missed the mark. I think having a reboot this early in a franchise's life cycle was maybe too big of a risk to take. But then again,
because this game
around since 2007.
Yeah, but I think the biggest problem is that they just dumped all their money into Star Wars games now. Because, like, they dumped all their money into, like, Battlefront. Like, they don't really care about Mass Effect anymore. They have something that they know will make them guaranteed money always.
Yeah, because Battlefront 2 will, like, if
which isn't a good thing, by the way.
Which, if the hype is to be believed, it'll probably be one of the best games of the year.
I doubt it.
It'll be full of microtransactions to high hell, I would imagine, but we'll see what happens. As long as
yeah, I can't. I can't imagine they're going to get an awful lot of pre-orders, considering the Battlefront 1 was kind of a disaster. You essentially had to pay for the game twice just to get anything that was on par with any other multiplayer shooter that was out at the time. And even then, you know, stuff like Overwatch. There's also only so much that people are going to play and is going to stick around and be played for quite some time, and I don't expect Battlefront to stick around, one or two. I just can't imagine it's going to be all that big a hit. And in terms of Mass Effect as a series and as a franchise, they had 5 years for this, and if you read a lot of their quotes and a lot of the series they wanted to piggyback off of, stuff like The Expanse, stuff like some of the elements of Star Trek, they did a terrible job. I mean,
yeah.
It feels like they read, you know, 4 pages out of one of the Expanse books, took all the wrong stuff, didn't watch the show or anything, and then just slapped a plot together, and I'm using that, you know, term loosely. Also, to be blunt, Mass Effect 3 left a bitter taste in an awful lot of people's mouths.
Well, yeah, because the endings were terrible.
Because people are dumb and have no imagination.
Okay. Oh, I know. Like, listen, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that the ends to 3 definitely hurt the sales of Andromeda. And, I mean, EA's going to have to deal with this as well with Battlefront, because I can't imagine a lot of the people who played that first game are going to, you know, jump on board the second one off the bat, considering all the transactions and everything else. So it's something they're going to have to get through, but they kind of did it to themselves on both of those. I mean, Mass Effect 3, I mean, maybe, I don't know, don't fire the writer who wrote all of your Mass Effect lore, books, comics, and games as soon as you start the last game. Maybe that wasn't a good call.
I mean, I think they had an interesting idea for a story, but it never goes to where it should, and it could have said a lot more in terms of its actual storytelling and context. It felt kind of hollow. I never got the exploration vibe that I think they wanted me to have.
Well, I think the other issue is even on an individual character-to-character basis, it wasn't well-written. For example, you...
Y'all was, but other people suck.
For example, you just walk up and talk to somebody, and it becomes Exposition Fest 99. I mean, Inquisition suffered from that at points as well, too, but it's just, I don't know, a lot of RPGs have been doing this lately, falling into this trap where you walk up to somebody and they just randomly tell you your their life story, whether you want to hear it or not.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all.
Why can't more games just rip off The Witcher 3?
I need to play that. I've got all the DLC for it. I guess I should just jump in.
It is a masterpiece.
But I've never played the other Witcher games, but I'm also going to start Dragon Age this week, too.
And then if you want to see a good version of Mass Effect, watch Season 1 of 2 of the... or 1 and 2 of The Expanse from Sci-Fi. First season available on Amazon. Anyway.
I don't believe that is a video game, Ryan.
I don't believe you should be talking.
Ah, but I should, because I'm going to go into my next story if you're done, Doug.
There you go.
So my final story is about the video game Alan Wake. Alan Wake, for those who don't know, it was an Xbox exclusive for the 360. Eventually it did come to PC. PC Master Race. Anyways, and it was done by the same company that did Quantum Break. Which some people liked and some people didn't. But Alan Wake, it was very Twin Peaks-y, and it's something where if any game is like, if you're looking up lists for things that are inspired by Twin Peaks, Alan Wake is likely to become one of the top entries. Unfortunately, you won't be able to get it after May 15th anymore, because the licensing for the music is actually expiring, and they haven't made a deal to purchase it again. So it will actually completely be disappearing from the digital storefront. You'll still be able to purchased the game before, you can still use it, but you can't buy it again.
Yeah, you just can't buy it brand new again. So
basically, folks, as you're listening to this episode of the Nerd News Network, you can no longer get this game. This will be out the day
this is a eulogy for...
Well, I guess that kind of begs the question. Does it mean tonight, this being Sunday at midnight, or does it mean tomorrow night as soon as it clicks over to the 16th?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is, but it is kind of interesting because this music licensing is something you normally see for television. I haven't actually seen an instance of this happening for... a video game before, not that I can
think
of. I have
a few times this has happened before in the past where they just don't want to renew the license or it expires because they only have it. Like, for example, you can't buy Scott Pilgrim versus the World anymore because its digital distribution rights expired.
That's right.
Which Andrew, you and I discussed a day ago.
Yes, Ryan, I realized that, but I don't know if that was for music, though, was it?
Well,
specifically?
It might be because Anna Managuchi did license the music to that game.
Yeah, but they seem pretty laissez-faire. They, like, give it to pot. Anyways, maybe that's a factor.
But mostly
I see it for television shows, like a lot of TV shows from the MTV era, like Daria and Beavis and Butthead for the longest time didn't get releases just because of music licensing.
In fact, some of the people me and Blanchard talked to over at Shout Factory, when they re-release a show, sometimes the music gets changed. I know Captain N used popular music from the time period, and its re-release got changed.
Which will be the last time you ever hear the word popular and Captain N in the same sentence.
You leave the Game Master alone. I talked to him. He's awesome.
That's what a horrible show.
What a mega bad idea, Ryan.
What a mega, mega shitty show.
I'm talking specifically about the character of Captain N. You leave Matt Hill alone. He's an awesome dude.
I'm sure he's a very nice person.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. Yeah. But the Shoakus sucked Balzacus.
That's going to be an outtake for every future podcast now. All right. Moving on to my final story. This actually, you might want to show this to Blair when it comes out, Mike. Tom Zoller, who wrote Love and Capes and Long Distance for IDW, and he's done various My Little Pony stuff over at IDW, is coming out with a new creator-owned series called Time and Vine. Okay, Time and Vine is about a grade school history teacher looking for a respite from her life's problems when she finds the ultimate escape when the owner of a local winery reveals its secret to her. Drink the right glass of wine in the right tasting room and travel back in time to the year it was bottled. Together, they'll journey throughout history for the 200-year-old winery, as well as their own. So basically, it's a magical time-traveling winery that's better than the police box and better than DeLorean.
I don't know about the DeLorean. Well, it's more convenient than the DeLorean, but not as cool as the TARDIS.
I'm a little confused because I don't understand what this Vine is. It doesn't exist anymore. The short little videos that people did? What are we talking
about? No, my God. Anyway, there's a full in-depth interview, written interview with Tom Zoller over on the Dynamic Forces website. One of their questions to him is, what can he tell them about the story? And he says, about the story's plucky protagonist, Megan is a young grade school history teacher. She has moved back to her hometown to take care of her mother, who's got early onset Alzheimer's, when we meet her. Her other teacher friends have taken her to the winery to take a night off, as it were. And that's when she meets the owner, tells her story, and Jack decides to take her on her first trip. She is a fun character to write, even in the midst of hardship. She very much loves her family and is a loyal guardian of it. Her mother's disease weighs heavily on her, and that becomes the core of the story in a way that Tom did not expect. I'm very much looking forward to this. I've talked to Tom Zoller. I've interviewed him once, and I've read Love and Capes. Love and Capes is pretty much the old 90s NBC sitcom Mad About You, except it's a superhero husband and a regular... It's basically Superman and
hopefully
Lois Lane.
Less horrible.
Oh, stop it. Do you actually enjoy anything besides the friggin' Expanse? Anyway.
Yeah, I enjoy plenty of things. They're just not terrible shows.
Now he's gonna bring out Mad Max.
Don't forget Breaking Bad.
How can I? We're talking about all five seasons of it over on Remote Control.
So basically what you're saying is she becomes a time-traveling alcoholic because of her mother's Alzheimer's. So essentially she's should be on Rick and Morty, not a comic book series.
Wow.
That's amazing crossover.
I'm optimistic towards my own life now because I see the alcoholic range, and I'm like, now I can go back in time.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you drink enough, you basically are.
No, you can only move forward if you drink too much.
That's true. Yeah, but I don't know. It becomes so blurry. You can pretend it's olden days.
But no,
I love ruining things. Anyway.
Yes, I know you do. This new series from Tom Zoller is going to be a 4-issue miniseries. It'll be double-sized issues. And it looks really, really cool and fun. So if somebody that reads a lot of comics, that reads a lot of Marvel, DC, not necessarily reads a lot of licensed stuff, this could be something cool and unique for someone to check out, especially if you're wine connoisseurs and you like time travel. So what other stories do we have, Ryan? Wait, what?
I was going to say, I'm not rich enough to be a wine connoisseur. If it costs $5, then I'm good. That's about it.
So in other words, you can have a boxed wine.
Yeah, exactly, my giant juice box.
Wait, you could send Blanchard $100 to watch a bunch of Harry Potter
movies. He said
10.
He said 10.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of them. Yeah.
That's at least 90.
I'm just hoping it'll take a while.
Are you kidding me? I have no real job. I spend, 50, 60, 70 hours a week on podcasting. I could probably, if I actually wanted to, which I don't, I could probably get through the first 3 movies in 72 hours.
So you're telling me you're going to turn down money, dude? Okay, all right.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying, like Ryan said earlier, shouldn't it be Ryan paying me for this, seeing as how you're dirt poor at this point?
I'm mostly doing it to prove a point, but still.
Yeah, but if you can't afford it, then...
He'll send you one Power Rangers figure in the mail for each movie you watch.
Return to sender. Address not. Address unknown. I do not need Power Rangers figures. I'm sorry. I don't mind watching the new movie. I love listening to the music, but I am so far out of... The only way that I would accept Power Rangers figures is if they were Funko Pop vinyls.
Okay.
I have two of those. That's it.
At least the Funko Pop vinyls are... At least the Funko Pop vinyls are more posable than the old figures.
The only thing Funko Pops haven't done is there's no Bulk and Skull.
Oh, I know it.
Oh, it's,
you know what?
Tragedy.
I would surprise you if they turn those in the Comic-Con exclusives.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyway,
what other news do we have, Ryan?
The only other thing I wanted to mention is semi-tongue-in-cheek, but semi-serious as well. We can no longer say that Ringo is the worst Beatle.
Okay.
That now officially belongs to Paul McCartney.
What'd he do now?
He is in the soon-to-be-a-feature film, which will be god-awful, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because we all know Paul is dead.
Yeah, well,
he got you there.
He cannot tell any tales.
Oh, my God.
I mean... I'm pretty sure I'll be wishing I'm dead when I watch this. This is... Listen, I enjoyed the first Pirates film. After that, it just became a vehicle for the terrible one-dimensional Jack Sparrow character who, I mean, just does the same shit through the entire film each time, and some reason people keep going to see them. Probably because there is no God and people like horrible movies. I mean, that's why China didn't go see Power Rangers, is for some reason, for the most part, only bad movies get play in China. I mean, we keep getting goddamn Transformers sequels, man, because they do well there.
And I'm sure all of Kevin Smith's latest movies are just huge. Yoga Paul Hoser's number one in China.
Paul McCartney in Tusk 3 in China. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just a terrible person. Yay.
You are the devil.
Wow.
We need to have Dustin on so we can have a long conversation about Kevin Smith and why I wish he'd stop making movies now.
That'll be the next topic show. I just got to see if I can wrangle Dustin. That's the only problem there.
Oh, man. I don't think he'll want both Andrew and I on for that one. It just becomes a beating.
If it was Andrew, yourself, Dustin, and me, there would be at least three times the negativity. Because I have been over Kevin Smith since about 2003. I have not liked anything he has put out. Comic Book Men was fun at first. But everything else he's done, I just don't know.
It went downhill when they had that dork who liked My Little Pony on.
Yeah. That guy sucks.
And I can't believe he was only a one-off character and never returned. Bullshit.
Six seasons in a movie. Actually, no, that show's now in the sixth or seventh season. I can't believe it.
Wait, yeah, and it's been picked up. It's actually still going?
Yeah, it's been picked up for another year, too.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I bet you they're still just going to hockey games, because that's all the fucking third season was. Like, hey, let's do the New Jersey Devils. Oh, hockey. They're comic books. God damn.
I'm still going to hockey games, baby, because the Sens are still in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you're not in a fucking... The podcast isn't, like, called Only Comic Books. This is a comic book podcast or some shit.
Also, apparently, unlike Comic Book Men, people actually watch Comic Book Men, so that's the other difference. Right. Nobody listens to the podcast, so.
Like I said, I liked Comic Book Men in the beginning, but after about the third season or so, it just kind of got old and stale. And same arguments every single week. This is why...
new stuff as opposed to gimmicks.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, how believable is it that, you know, a Batmobile comes driving down the street in friggin' Red Bank, New Jersey. I know they set all this stuff up and production and everything else, but just watching the show itself, it's not very believable that a 1966 Batmobile is going to come driving down the street.
I mean, have you been to Jersey? It's unbelievable that anything's going to come driving down the street. Oh, sorry, anything that has all of its doors attached and hubcaps.
Plus, you're likely to get shot. Jersey's not the safest place I've ever been.
And on that note, I have found my two TV shows that are going to carry me through the summer season this year. I'm going to be rewatching. I'll get to it, Ryan. God. I will be rewatching all six seasons of The Sopranos and all three seasons.
Gabagool.
And all three seasons of The Newsroom.
Oh God! Why? Why?
Because I like the Newsroom. I watched like the first four episodes of it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
America's not the greatest country in the world. Shut the fuck up, Aaron Sorkin. No one cares.
Yeah, but he's right.
But wait, you live in Canada. Why would you agree with him?
I agree with him.
Oh my gosh! It just every 5 minutes on Facebook, somebody posts that. Like, oh man, this is the truest 5 minutes of television that ever existed.
Well, I mean, to be fair, if you listed all the reasons why America's crappy right now, you know, that would take more than the 3-year run of the show.
Actually, it would take one word, but,
yeah. No, it was banned before him. Anyway.
So, anyway, that's what's going on with me for the summer. Anything else we want to bring up before we get the hell out of here?
Like I said, hopefully this weekend I'll have a new prototype with JV2017 from YouTube. We'll be talking about Mass Effect Andromeda, what went right, what went wrong, and the future of the franchise.
One of those will take less time than the other.
Yeah, no shit. Terrible Warriors, we're once again releasing new episodes Mondays and Thursdays. Friday the 13th will be out to coincide with the release of the game. So the game comes out on the 26th, but we'll have at least two episodes out before then, I'm pretty sure. So be on the lookout for that. It's me, Derek, Roebuck, and Justin. And Bree's going to join us in the next couple episodes. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome. Ryan and I are going to wrap up our Breaking Bad episodes on remote control, so we got season 5 left to go for that. What show do we want to wrangle Andrew into next, Ryan?
Arrow.
Oh God.
I can't do that yet.
We can do The Newsroom if you want. It'll just be like an hour of me screaming, but we can do The Newsroom.
No. I've got a guy for that one.
That depends.
Now here's a question.
Yes.
How do you guys take off? For remote control, do you guys often do comedies?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay, so a little history for the Twig listeners.
We are going to do Arrow and Flash. Does that count?
Oh, God.
That's just comedically incompetent.
Oh, God. All right, so remote control is the GCRN's current television show podcast. We had the telecast with Optimus Solo, which was basically it's anything from 1999 to the past, any old TV shows. Well, when I created Remote Control, I said, okay, it's going to be anything from 2000 to whenever now is, kind of like the old Batman Beyond joke. So we've covered various things. It's taken various forms. I pretty much stick to season passes where we watch a season of television and then talk about it. We've done stuff for, well, like I said, 5 seasons of Breaking Bad. We've done stuff for, what other season passes have we done? I did a Take 5 where we looked at the first 5 episodes of This Is Us. So we're going to be doing other stuff. We have not gotten to comedies yet, but we will. Because I have...
Who really wants to do...
What'd you say? You should check out, let's say, for our American listeners, there's a show you should check out. I've been enjoying it over the last few months. The show is called Letterkenny. Please check this out. I want it to get distribution in America, but you can't get it through quote-unquote legal means, but check it out anyway. It's totally funny as hell. Think of it as I think it's a higher brow version of Trailer Park Boys, and I'm just getting into that now, so
You it's watch fun. Some strange stuff, Mike.
Andrew You're... really wants to do Cleopatra 2025.
You know what? I probably could. I could do Cleopatra 2025. It's probably better than the newsroom.
We should do a 17-hour special on the Hercules episode with the guy who thinks he's Zeus and paints lightning bolts on rocks and throws them at people.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, also, I need to read the Jurassic Park sequel novel, and we should do a special on that.
From the Lost World?
No, they did a sequel to the Jurassic Park films in novel form, which I only recently discovered.
I didn't know.
And it consists of a drug runner takes over the island and uses it to like as a base of operations to smuggle drugs out to the rest of the world, and he gets infiltrated by like FDA agents.
And they fight dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool.
So terrible. Pterodactyls are the best drug runners. You just like throw a bit of cocaine on them, and they'll go.
Just strap the heroin to the other side of the wing. They'll make it.
Yeah, actually, have them do a line, and then.
So what you're telling? Velociraptor till you've seen one on speed.
Covered in machetes.
The same sentence.
Is there a bus involved with that?
Oh, God.
No.
Hey, at least I didn't say, is there a boat involved with that? All right.
Yeah, that would be cruise control.
Yeah, I know, right?
Which nobody saw.
Ryan, where can the people find you online?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
Mike?
You can find me at Birdman Dot if the police don't pick me up.
Yeah, somebody's getting arrested.
crap, it's because I told you to download Letterkenny.
What a poor development that has been. All right, Andrew, what about you?
At Wine Movie Nerd.
And I am at TF2 and Mike. Please follow at This Week in Geek as well. We will catch you next time here on the Nerd News Network.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Let's kind of start off with the Asmophere. The biggest twat, and my night got fucked.
I had a great time.
Fucked! This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad.
Where am I? While I'm at the movies.
What? It's not my fault.
Because you're being a jerk about it. Anyway.
What?
I'm a nice
so
guy.
So strongly. He'll bitch about it later, like as you could tell. For the whole internet to hear. What?
I'm not crazy.
I don't fly off the handle. Like, what?
Stop hitting the mic.
No, it's to emphasize my point.
You can make any noise anywhere else. Stop hitting the mic. That fucks it up. Don't do that.
Oh my God, you're such a baby. What?
I just fucking did!
Would you shut up? Seriously.
This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad. What?
Where am I? While I'm at the movies. Like, well, no shit. You didn't need to fucking tell everybody that.
What?
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.